It's good to be back. Many of you know that I had the wonderful opportunity to spend the second part of Holy Week and then the week after Easter in the Holy Land, touring the various holy sites. And it was an amazing adventure. It was something that is life-changing for me. And if anybody has ever had the opportunity to go to the Holy Land, you kind of know what I'm talking about when I say that it kind of changes your perspective on pretty much everything. And if you ever do get the opportunity to go, take that opportunity, because it's something that is definitely life-changing. And one of the beautiful things is that we were able to tour a lot of the different holy sites around there, things that we've read about in Scripture for so many years. I finally got to see where these things took place. And people keep asking me, you know, what was the most meaningful for you? And I would say that there were three specific points that were extremely meaningful, that stood out more than the others. And that was, first off, on Holy Thursday, on Holy Thursday night, we got to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that was an amazing opportunity. And I just know also, too, that at all these holy sites, the people of St. Paul were in my prayers, praying at these different places and praying for you and being with my brother deacons, being able to have this opportunity to pray together was an amazing experience, especially right in the Garden of Gethsemane on Holy Thursday. And the second example, or the second time that I, most meaningful part of the trip, we were in Bethlehem, and we were in the cave. There's now a chapel in the cave, but the cave is still there, where the shepherds went after the angel appeared to the shepherds and told them to go adore the Christ child. So we were in that cave where they were, and there was the group of eight that I was with, and then there was a group of about 10 or 12 people from Mozambique that were in the cave with us all at the same time. And all of a sudden, all at once, without prompting, we all broke out into singing together, "O Come All Ye Faithful." And it was a very emotional moment, obviously, but it was a very, very Catholic moment, that here were these two groups of people who did not know each other from literally different parts of the world, singing in one common voice, singing praise to God. And so it was an amazing experience. And I would say that the third was, the last part of our trip, we stayed in the town of Tiberias, which is on the Sea of Galilee. Now, John, in this gospel, refers to the Sea of Tiberias. Sea of Tiberias and the Sea of Galilee are the same place. Galilee is the region, Tiberias is the big town that sits on the sea. So it's the same place. And we were at this, last Saturday, I was at this spot where this happened. And I was walking around, and the Franciscans run a lot of the holy sites. And so I was walking around this site before we were able to have Mass here, and encased in a glass case was this rock, and this was supposedly the rock that Jesus stood on as he was summoning the apostles from the sea. And so the Franciscan priest who was in charge of that area happened to be walking around, and I asked him, I said, "Father," I said, "how do you know this is the exact rock that Jesus was standing on?" And he just looked at me and said, "Deacon, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story." He says, "It doesn't matter if it was here or if it was here, it was here that all this happened." I said, "Right on, Father." And so out on the seashore is an altar that was built where we were able to have Mass. And as we were having Mass and this gospel, let me back up for a second. Another really great thing over there is that you have the opportunity there to read the Mass of the site as opposed to the Mass of the day. So, for example, on the Tuesday after Easter, when we were in Bethlehem, we had Christmas Mass. And so when we were in Capernaum, which is where this happened, we were able to celebrate this Mass with this gospel reading. So last Saturday, as we're sitting there having Mass, this gospel is being read and I'm looking past the deacon who's reading this gospel, and I'm looking out on the sea, imagining this all happening. And as he's reading this, they rent these boats that they call them Jesus boats. They are boats that are from the period of Christ that you can rent and go fishing with and whatever else. So as this is being read, one of these boats comes sort of sailing behind where I'm looking past the deacon out onto the sea. So I'm imagining that being the boat that the disciples are on and Jesus summoning them. And I have this vivid picture of, you know, of Peter sort of cinching up his belt and just jumping on in the water, because that's what Peter does sometimes, acts before thinking. But as we were going through this, and I'm looking out past this, when it came time for the homily, Father Ralph Recker, who was with us, was given the homily. And being that it was seven deacons on this trip that were preparing for priesthood, he came to each of us and asked us face to face, "By name, do you love me?" And, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep." And it really gave credence to what Jesus was saying to Peter, Jesus was saying to me, and Jesus says to all of you, that if you love me, your job is to feed my sheep. And to feed his sheep not only in physical ways, but also in spiritual ways, and ways that build up the person and build up the body. And it's interesting when I read this gospel in the past, you know, we can see Jesus extending his mercy to Peter in this gospel by giving him the opportunity to make up for what Peter did in his denial, asking him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" Giving him the opportunity for each time to say, "Yes, Lord," to make up for that. But there's another level on which we can read this gospel as well. And that when you read in the original Greek, there's a couple different words that are translated into love. There is the word agape, which is a sacrificial love which God gives to us. That is the way that in which God loves. There is eros, which is a romantic love between man and woman. And then there is philios, which is a brotherly love, which we have for one another. And, of course, agape is the highest of those loves. So when this gospel is read in its Greek original text, Jesus is asking Peter, "Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me like I love you?" And Peter answers him, "Lord, I philios you. You're my brother." And with that, Jesus says, "If you're my brother, feed my sheep." He asks him again, "Do you agape me?" And Peter answers, "I philios you. You're my brother." And he says, "Feed my sheep." Then he asks him a third time, but this time Jesus says, "Do you philios me? Are you really my brother?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I'm your brother. I philios you." To which Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." And it gives a different perspective, because at the end of this gospel reading, we see Jesus telling Peter, "You're my brother, and you may not be able to give all that I'm asking of you right now, but that day will come when you will be asked to give it all, Peter." And of course, we know of Peter's fate of going back to Rome and sacrificing his life for the sake of the gospel. But that call that goes out to Peter is the same call that goes out to us to give it all. Most of us will not have to give it all in a physical sense. We will not be called to a physical martyrdom. Although that is still going on in this world today. We hear the story of the four nuns just in the last couple of weeks over in Yemen. But it is in a daily giving over of the will and a daily giving over of our mind and our hearts and our bodies to the will of God, to the sacrifice of others, is what God is calling us to when he tells us to feed my sheep. You know, earlier this week, in the daily readings, John 3:16 came up. You know, that's a very famous line made famous by people holding up signs at sporting events. But what it tells us is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And once again, one of the beautiful things about scripture is, depending upon how we approach from which angle, it can say various different things to us. Oftentimes we read that, for God so loved the world. We read that as saying, God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. And that is a valid and true way to understand that. But there's a secondary way we can look at that. Instead of saying, for God loved the world so much, we could take that word so, and in the Greek, that has a couple of different meanings. You can say, for God loved the world in this manner, when he says, for God so loved the world. So it was in this manner that God loved us, that he gave his son. So from the beginning, God's love for us was a sacrificial love. And that is the same love that he invites us into when he invites us into being part of his life. In John's gospel, there's various Eucharistic overtones we see today of Jesus giving fish and bread to the disciples. We are called to the meal of the Lord. And when we do, we are called to sacrifice ourselves, make of ourselves a sacrifice, so that we may become one in the body of Christ. And it is in that body of Christ that we are then commissioned as a people, as a group, one functioning unit, to go out and feed the lambs and bring the good news. Here we see Peter being given primacy by Jesus. This is where Peter is given the prime seat as first among equals. And it's in the midst of his failures, in the midst of his weaknesses, that Jesus calls him out of that to raise him up to something new. Once again, we see Jesus qualifying those who he calls. Oftentimes, we get caught up in a mindset of, I'm not good enough, I'm not holy enough, I'm not holy enough to ever be a deacon or a priest. But it is the Holy Spirit that empowers me. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers you to be parents and to be brothers and to be sisters and to be the people that God is calling you to be. And it's amazing, too, that at the end of today's first reading, that the apostles were able to find joy and to be able to suffer dishonor for the name of Christ. And oftentimes that comes along with God's call. And it is the perseverance of the Spirit, and it is the joy that we have to find in fulfilling not only God's call for us, but truly becoming who we are as people. And that is the joy to which God calls us. And so that call that went out to Peter some 2,000 years ago goes out to all of us still today. Do you love me? And if you answer yes, then you must feed his sheep.